Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. And then the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Welcome to Children's Bible Journey, with stories and songs just for kids. We have a dramatized Bible story coming up, but let's get today's program started by singing praises to our awesome God.
Love singing praises to Jesus. We'll do some more singing in a few minutes. Now let's get back to our continuing Bible story from the Bible and Living Sound.
You have to select a spotless lamb?
Yes, Eve, without blemish. That's what the angel instructed.
Well, how about this one?
Yes, he'll do. I wish I didn't have to do this.
Adam, I'm sorry, too. Awfully sorry. Had I remained by your side there in the Garden of Eden, all this wouldn't have happened.
I know, Eve. You did wander from my side, and we did sin. So we must do what is necessary to accept of God's plan of redemption.
But why is it necessary to kill that lamb?
Well, this lamb represents the Son of God. The Lamb of God. When I raise my hand to take the life of this lamb, it signifies that someday man's hand will be raised to take the life of the Son of God.
Then you have to take the lamb's life and offer it as a sacrifice?
No, I don't have to. God doesn't force his will upon anyone, not even the angels in heaven. But God has ordained this sacrificial ceremony and the awfulness of taking life as a perpetual reminder. A penitential acknowledgement of sin and a confession of faith in a coming Redeemer. It impresses upon our minds that it is sin that caused death, Eve, we have never seen death, except the fading and withering of flowers. And as I take the life of this innocent lamb, I must remember that it is our sin that made this ceremony necessary. With great personal suffering and painful knowledge, I now take the life of this spotless lamb.
A son. God has given us a son, Adam.
A baby after the likeness of our own selves.
His name shall be Cain, gift of God.
Another son.
Abel. Cain and Abel. Nice sounding names. And they're nice boys, too.
And in the progress of time, Cain and Abel grew into young men.
What are you going to do today, Cain?
Pull the weeds from the garden.
Oh, why don't you take a day off from your garden and come with me to the fields?
Amid those noisy, smelly sheep of yours? No, thanks.
Sheep have individuality. Those vegetables and fruits you work with have nothing at all, except back-breaking work.
I don't mind tilling the soil, watch things grow, harvest the results.
And I love to care for my sheep and lambs. Hear the song of the breeze through the leaves of the woods. Read the wonders and feel God's love and presence in his great outdoors. I have the
faith... Both of you are going to take a holiday today. This is sacrifice day, remember?
Oh, I had forgotten.
Do we have to offer sacrifices today? I'm busy. Won't tomorrow do as well?
No, Cain. Why do you always complain and question authority? You know very well that the sacrificial ceremonies are very important to your mother and me. It was our sin that made them necessary. And it's God's great love for all of us, including you, that established this ceremony pointing forward to the salvation from my sin. You will offer sacrifices today. Understand?
Yes, Father. I still don't see why all this is necessary. In the first place, I don't believe in killing, not even a lamb. In the second place, it takes time and material to sacrifice. And the angel said that work is a blessing. Well, I'd much rather work than do this.
We're almost finished.
Yes, just with building the altar. Then there's all the other procedure we have to observe.
But, Cain, you know as well as I do that this is a test. A test to you, to me, to future generations of our faith in and obedience to the Word of God.
I can believe and obey without all this.
There. My altar's finished.
So is mine. They look exactly alike.
They are. They're built according to God's instructions. I'm going to get my sacrificial lamb.
So am I.
See you here just before sacrifice time. Where's your lamb?
Right here.
But that's fruit, not a lamb.
So I offer fruit, fruit that I myself grew. God should be pleased that I offer him the product of my own labor.
Cain, you know God commanded us to offer a lamb. Surely you don't...
I don't need your advice. I don't want it. I'm older than you. I guess I know what I'm doing without being nagged by you.
Oh, Cain, please. You know that God won't be...
I know I'm not going to take any more of this nagging from you. You offer what you want to on your altar. I offer what I want to on mine.
And so, God of creation, show thy approval of my offering by bringing fire from heaven and consuming this unblemished lamb. And come, Messiah, and save thy erring children from their sins.
And so, God of creation, show thy approval of my offering by bringing fire from heaven and consuming this fruit, the product of my own labor. Show thy approval, O God, of this fruit offering by showering fire from above to consume it. God of creation, I plead with thee...
It won't do any good, Cain. God said...
Mind your own business, will you? O God of love and understanding, I have brought this fruit, isn't it?
But God had not respect to Cain's offering, and Cain was wroth and his countenance fell.
My offering is just as good as Abel's, but he thinks he's better than me just because his offering was consumed by fire. Someday I'll show him who's who around here, him and his better-than-thou attitude.
And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him.
Cain, where is Abel thy brother?
I know not where he is. Am I my brother's keeper?
The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. And now art thou cursed from the earth, which hath opened her mouth to receive thy brother's blood from thy hand. When thou tillest the ground, it shall not henceforth yield unto thee her strength. A fugitive and a vagabond shalt thou be in the earth.
And Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and dwelt in the land of Nod on the east of Eden.
We'll continue the Bible story tomorrow. And if you would like to have these stories to listen to at home, you can call the Bible in Living Sound at 1-800-634-0234. That's 1-800-634-0234. Now here's some more music before we have to say goodbye.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong.
Settle down. Let's settle down now. The first meeting of the New Kids Bible Club is now in session. I'm glad to see you guys here this evening, and I'm looking forward to exploring God's Word with you.
Is there food?
What did you say, Henry?
Is there food? You know, stuff to eat. Someone told me there'd be food. Well, we'll have lots of the bread of life from the Bible.
I'd rather have pizza.
Actually, you bring up an important point.
I do?
Yeah. When you haven't eaten for a while, what happens to you?
He gets grouchy. Kind of like now.
That's only normal. The human body needs nourishment. When it doesn't get enough, it becomes worried and starts to make you feel, well, grouchy.
Henry is always hungry.
The very same thing happens to your mind when you haven't had enough of the bread of life from God's word. Your mind gets hungry. You start feeling more worried than you need to be, more fearful of things, more angry at how the world is treating you. Perhaps you know people like that. They're just mad all the time. What they need is the bread of life straight from the Bible. They need some beautiful promises to make them feel better, or a word or two of encouragement from the lips of Jesus himself to let them know that they're not alone. That's what you find in the Bible. Words that fill you up with joy. That's why we're here.
Okay. Bread of life. Got it. Then can we have pizza?
I think there's some food in the refrigerator left over from Sabbath potluck. Maybe next week I'll have someone bring some sandwiches. Is everybody here grouchy? Yes, I'll bring sandwiches, lots of sandwiches.
Jesus wants to be our friend. He has placed in our hearts a desire to share our deepest secrets and brightest hopes with him. This program was brought to you by the Children's Ministries Department of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists.
Peaceful way we live, tell of the eternal life our precious Lord can give.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
And we love the Lord.
And we love the Lord.
We are kids of the kingdom.
We are kids of the kingdom.
And we love the Lord.
And we love the Lord.
We are kids.
Boys and girls, this is Ms. Kathy. I'm so happy you've joined me today for another story just for you. Chapter 10, Meeting the Kidnapper. Dee Dee! Hey, Dee Dee, stop! Dee Dee stopped Angel and whipped around in the saddle. What? What do you mean, what? Sammy asked. I didn't say anything. Didn't you or Willie call my name? No, Sammy said. I didn't either, Willie said, but I heard someone. Dee Dee, it's me. Ruth Thompson stepped out from behind a tree. She looked uneasy, like she wanted to run away. The first thing Dee Dee thought of doing was to tell Ruth off for trying to kidnap Zach, but she decided not to. She decided she shouldn't be so quick to judge people anymore. Hi, Ruth. What are you doing here? Ruth shrugged. I guess I wanted to say that I'm sorry for trying to kidnap Zach. Will you forgive me? Dee Dee didn't mean to take so long answering, but she wasn't sure at first if she wanted to forgive Ruth or not. Then she thought about how she had been accusing Eagle Feather when he wasn't even guilty. She knew she owed him an apology, too. Yes, I forgive you. Ruth smiled. It was the first time Dee Dee had ever seen her smile. Thank you, Dee Dee, Ruth said. Then she looked at Willie and Sammy and Dee Dee. How come there are just three of you? And what took you so long? I've been waiting here for a couple of hours. A bear scared Shorty's horse, Sammy said. Then Shorty fell off and broke his leg, Willie added. And now we're trying to find our way back to the lodge to get help, Dee Dee finished. Will you help us? Sure, Ruth said. Can I ride behind you on Angel? Dee Dee took her foot out of the stirrup and held out her hand for Ruth. Ruth grabbed Dee Dee's hand and stuck her foot in the stirrup as Dee Dee helped her up. Dee Dee noticed Ruth's foot and started laughing. You're wearing moccasins, too. Ruth's face turned red. Yeah, I guess you found my tracks, huh? Dee Dee nodded. Uh-huh. Do you think Eagle Feather will forgive me for accusing him of being the kidnapper? I was sure it was his tracks I had found everywhere. I'm sure he will, Ruth said. It sounds to me like we all made some mistakes and need to be forgiven. That's for sure, Dee Dee agreed. Are you ready to ride? I'm ready. Let's ride, Ruth said. Pretty soon it was so dark Dee Dee couldn't see Willie or Sammy at all, even though she could still hear their horses. She was glad Ruth was riding with her. It made her feel better knowing that Ruth knew where they were. Once Willie stopped because he thought Smokey had lost the trail. I think we need to go left, Willie decided, but Smokey wants to go right. We better go the way Smokey wants to go, Ruth said. Willie sighed. Okay, he turned to the right. 15 minutes later, they saw lights ahead of them. We made it, Dee Dee shouted. We made it, Willie and Sammy. I'll go tell our parents what happened and that we're all safe, Willie said as he turned Smokey toward the cabins. Good idea, Dee Dee said. We'll go get help for Shorty. Dee Dee, Ruth, and Sammy rode down to the lodge. Dee Dee let Ruth down. Then she and Sammy got down and followed Ruth inside. The first person to see them was a big man with a beard and a red flannel shirt. Hey, are you the kids everyone's so worried about? The ones who went on a ride with Shorty Wilson? Dee Dee gulped. Yes, sir. Shorty's got a broken leg. He's in a cave by the trail that goes to the lake. Some of our friends stayed with him. The big man jumped to his feet. His voice boomed in the lodge. I need some volunteers. Sounds like Shorty could use some help tonight. Before leaving, he turned and smiled down at Dee Dee. Don't worry. We'll take over from here. It was mighty brave of you kids to ride out of the mountains at night like that. Dee Dee smiled. Thank you, sir. Thank you, Sammy said. The story you have heard today is a chapter of The Shoebox Kids, Book 10, Adventure on Wild Horse Mountain, written by Eric Stoffel, edited and created by Jerry D. Thomas, and used with permission from the Pacific Press Publishing Association. If you're interested in any other books published by the Seventh-day Adventist Church, please visit AdventistBookCenter.com or call 1-800-765-6955.
This podcast is a production of the Carolina Conference of the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
Let the children come. Don't dare drive them away. In them the kingdom comes. Hear the holy, foolish things they say. The springtime of their life decides the adults they'll become. So let the children come. Please let the children come.
Children's Bible Journey was brought to you by 3ABN Australia Radio and is a production of Life Talk Radio at lifetalk.net.